When you obey the word of God, guess what happens? God allows the Holy Spirit to work more in your life, and you begin to see things in the way that you could never see before. You look in the word of God, but you're obeying the best you can in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you begin to obey God in your marriage. You begin to obey God in your church. You begin to serve. You begin to share. You begin to live a life of holiness unto God. You begin to share your testimony. You're being obedient to God. Guess what happens? The word comes alive. You begin to see the power of God. You begin to see God moving in other people's lives. Obedience brings illumination. What happens when there is disobedience? When you refuse to obey God? Something God tells you and you make light of it. I preach a message and you joke about it. I preach something and you already think in your mind, why are you not going to do it? It breeds incomprehension. It's like someone turns off the light. And who is the someone? It's God. Are y'all getting this? Obedience opens your eyes. Disobedience brings blindness.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Obedient by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our goal is simple. Make Christ visible in everything that we do. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
As parents, we often say things to our children, things like, who is the parent here, you or me? Have you ever said that to your kids? Right? We're saying that to tell them, be obedient. We're in charge. How many of y'all ever said to your kids, why? Because I said so, that's why. Right? Things like, as long as you live under my roof, you will abide by my... That's right. This is, I'm in charge here. But the goal of all these statements is to get our kids to obey us. So also, God repeatedly commands us in His Word to obey Him, to be obedient. He is our Heavenly Father, and He demands, right? He commands us to obey Him totally, immediately, and cheerfully. So when we have a kind of obedience that is partial, we obey some things and we disobey the others. When we have a kind of obedience that is delayed, we take our time in our will, in our way, we will consider obeying God. Or when we obey Him, not cheerfully, but in a disgruntled manner, that's disobedience. Partial, delayed, and disgruntled obedience is disobedience. And this morning we're going to learn in our series on the parables of Jesus the importance of being obedient to God. God loves you. God will do anything for you. He will answer your prayers, but there is no substitute to obedience. That's in your court. You have to obey Him. God will not make you obedient. He will not make you obey His laws. You have to make that choice to be obedient to Him. And that is the title of our message today. It's on the parable of the two sons. Very simple parable, and the message is called Obedient. It's from Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 28. And let's all once again stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted, and he went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said to him, to Jesus, the first one. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. As you know, parables are like mirrors. When you read a parable, it's a story that you have to find yourself in that story. What character are you playing in that story? So the question is, which son are you? Are you the son who said yes to his father, but he did not go? Or are you the son who said no, but he actually went? He regretted and did what his father told him to do. Which one are you? Are you the one who is all praise Jesus, I love God, I'm in it, and then when it comes to obedience, You don't obey God. You've already made up your mind. You've drawn the line and said, this is as far as I go. Nothing more, nothing less. And no matter preaching, teaching, even God can come down here and tell me, I made up my mind. I'm not going to do it. Then you're living in disobedience. And disobedience is sin. And this morning, the challenge to you, the encouragement to you is to say, God, what is that area of my life or areas of my life where I have been disobedient to you? I mean, this message is for me. I'm the first in line because I can see right now the places where I have said, God, no. It's time to repent. It's time to confess. And are you a child of God? It's only through Jesus Christ that you can call God your heavenly Father. So if you've never done that, right this moment, we're doing something new, which is, why wait till the end to say it's time to get saved? Why don't you get saved now? You'll enjoy the service a whole lot more. Amen? So if you have never prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior, as your King, you pray right now. Here's a simple prayer, right where you are. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God. You died for me, and I need you to forgive me of my sins, and God, take over. I need your help. And if you prayed that prayer, thank him for saving you. Thank him for placing his Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, we're in a series on the parables of Christ. We've looked at many parables so far, but most of them have been generic parables, which means they are applicable more or less to all the people who were in Jesus' audience. Today's parable that we just read is sort of different. It is, I would call it a specific parable. It is a parable that Jesus gave specially to the religious leaders. Now, when it comes to Jesus and his ministry, there were two kinds of people in the crowd. The first were the out crowd, and we will see who they were, and then simply the in crowd of people. The out crowd and the in crowd. Now, who were the in crowd? Let's focus on them for a few moments. The in crowd were people who opposed Jesus. They were the Pharisees. They were the scribes. They were the Sadducees. The religious leaders, the ones who were trying to keep the law, but trying to keep it in their own way, in their own standard of righteousness. But unfortunately, this group that was supposed to be the in crowd, so-called the church-going people, they actually opposed Jesus. They rejected him. In fact, to understand the background of this parable, we have to back up to Matthew 21 and verse 23. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? What they were saying is, we're in charge. If you want to do anything, Jesus, you have to come through us. This is the in crowd. These are the church people. Well, there's a reason why they asked that question. What authority do you have? Because Jesus had done something very recently that was a little earth-shattering. He walked into the temple and he began cleaning out the temple. Remember that? He drove out the money changers. He turned over the tables. He let the animals loose and he was driving them out. Now, why did Jesus do this? If the in crowd had really studied the Bible, they should have known. What Jesus was doing was he was fulfilling messianic prophecies. The Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Zechariah, in the book of Malachi, that when the Messiah came, he was going to rebuild the temple. Jesus was the Messiah. He came, but he didn't try to rebuild. He began by purifying the temple. So what he was doing was to clean out the temple. How do we know that? Listen to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Just one verse I'm going to read. It says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Who was the messenger of the Messiah? Who was the messenger of Jesus? John the Baptist. I mean, how obvious is that? John the Baptist is the messenger who's going to prepare the way. But listen to this. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. I mean, there you have it. You can't get any clearer than that. John the Baptist is the messenger, Jesus is the Lord who comes suddenly in his temple. I mean, they should have known. But here's the problem. This group had already rejected John the Baptist. No wonder they could not recognize Jesus the Messiah. They rejected the messenger. How in the world can they receive the Messiah? Now I want to make a point here that you're going to hear me repeatedly mention throughout this sermon. And it's very simple. Obedience brings illumination. Obedience opens your eyes to more truth. Disobedience breeds incomprehension. When you obey the word of God, guess what happens? God allows the Holy Spirit to work more in your life, and you begin to see things in the way that you could never see before. When you refuse to obey God, something God tells you, and you make light of it. I preach a message, and you joke about it. I preach something, and you already think in your mind, why are you not going to do it? It breeds incomprehension. It's like someone turns off the light. And who is the someone? It's God. Are y'all getting this? Obedience opens your eyes. Disobedience brings blindness. One of my favorite preachers who lived in the Victorian era in England was a man by the name of F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer said something that has always stayed with me. He said it this way, if a man refuses to obey the truth, so far as it is revealed to him, the glimmering light dies out from his soul. And you can say, if a woman. If a woman refuses to obey the truth, as far as it is revealed to her, the glimmering light dies out from her soul, and her eyes become dimmed so that she cannot see. You can have the best Bible studies. You can go get a study Bible. You can go to David Jeremiah's conference. You can go to John MacArthur. You can go to John Piper. I don't care which John you go to. You can go to all the women's Bible study and all the women's special conferences. But if there is disobedience in your life, it doesn't matter. You'll still walk away empty. This is what these people were doing. They were in the in crowd, but they had rejected John the Baptist. And Jesus says, hey, listen, you're questioning my authority. Listen to what Jesus does in verse 24. This is powerful. When they said, what authority do you have to do what you're doing? Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. What is the question, Jesus? The baptism of John. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? Now, it seems like a riddle, but it's not. What Jesus is getting at is, you rejected John. So answer for me, where did John come from? Did God send him, or was he just a people's movement? They began to reason. Listen to their reason. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, then Jesus will say to us, why then did you not believe him? Simple. If God sent John, why did you not repent? Why were you not baptized? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they couldn't even say that, hey, look, John just came out of the Dead Sea area. He was one of those, crazy Essenes running around. And that's what the people would say, wait a minute, are you telling us that when I got right with God that he was just a rebel? He was just trying to do something to get attention? So what is their response? Listen to this. So they answered Jesus and said to him, we do not know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What Jesus was telling them is this. If you rejected John's authority, there is no need for me to go any further. If you did not obey here, why should I give you more here? At this point, Jesus gave the parable of the two sons. Now, I'm preaching with passion this morning, but keep in mind, I'm preaching to me as well. The Holy Spirit is working in my life too. Two sons. Very simple parable. Father had two sons. He commanded both to go and work in the vineyard. The first one said no. This is the out crowd. The one that said, No. But later on, he regretted. He repented. And then he actually went. He did what his father asked him to do. Well, how about the other son? The other son said, yes, this is the in crowd. Yes, John is great. Have you heard John preach? Man, John is amazing. I saw him baptized, and he's baptizing people left and right. Man, it's great. Y'all want to go hear John again? At first, this crowd accepted John until John got a little personal. What did John say when he saw the Pharisees and the scribes? He said, you brood of vipers, who warned you of the wrath to come? Even now, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. And they're like, you know, I like that preacher over there until he started talking about money. Until he started talking about, you know, personal issues. He got too personal. So, the out crowd became the in crowd. The in crowd now is the out crowd. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 31. He says, assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots, by the way, who are the tax collectors and harlots? They were the lowest of the society. Tax collectors had sold themselves out to the Romans. They were fleecing the people, the poor people. They were overcharging them. You know, historians tell us that sometimes even the Roman emperors had to step in and say, you can't charge anymore. That's how horrible they used to be. Historians tell us that entire villages were depopulated because the tax collectors were coming in, beating up the people, robbing them, overcharging them, lying to them. I mean, even widows were beaten up in public. That's what the tax collectors were doing. But guess what happens? They go to hear John in the wilderness. They are the no crowd. And by the way, John was no tickle-the-ear preacher. Anybody here know what that means? Just one person? A two, three, four? Have y'all been listening to a lot of ear ticklers? They're the preachers that you feel good. You feel great. You feel awesome. You feel walk away. It's like I can fly. I can touch the sky. You know, I feel so great. Man, he makes me feel so good. But you're still living in sin. You're still doing things that are wrong, and God is displeased with you. John the Baptist was not an ear tickler. He was not positive. He was not, you know, just let's just get you nice and pretty and put you out there. No, he was hardcore. He was direct. He was confrontational. And these people actually got convicted and got saved. Anybody know of a tax collector in the Bible who got saved? Very prominent one. Say it. Matthew, Zacchaeus. Matthew actually wrote this gospel. He was one of them. He got saved. How about the prostitutes? Well, prostitution was no better. The Bible forbade prostitution. Gentiles, even the Romans and the Greeks and the Egyptians looked down on prostitution. It was something shameful and foolish and hurtful. Even prostitutes got saved. Professional prostitutes. I mean, they had to pay taxes to do what they were doing. They go to hear John, and John begins to put his finger at them and says, you need to repent, and you need to repent. And they're like, he's right. I don't do the temple, but I need God in my life. And they got saved. But how about the other crowd, the religious crowd? They liked John at first, until his words began to expose their sins. And instead of confessing and repenting and submitting to God, they did just the opposite. They began to oppose him. They began to criticize him. They held on to their own standard of righteousness. John was saying, repent, change. And they were saying, no, we're not going to do that because we don't think that way. We believe that as long as you have your dining table clean, and as long as you make sure that you're tithing of mint and cumin and all those vegetables, and as long as you make sure that your eating habits are pure and holy, that's all matters. So what John is talking about, we don't go for that. They had their own standard of righteousness. Please listen very carefully, just like some of you in the in crowd. You have your own idea of what God expects. As long as I go to church once a week, and that too if nothing else is going on, it's all good. As long as when I get up in the morning and I say a quick prayer, thank you, Lord, for giving me another day, I'm good. As long as I don't do anything really, really bad, it doesn't matter. I am good. We have created our own standard of righteousness. And as long as we're meeting that standard, we think it doesn't matter. What did Jesus say? Listen again to verse 31. Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom before you. If you are the in crowd who thinks, I'm good. Hey, listen, lost people are coming in. And they are entering the kingdom ahead of you. In my time as a pastor, I have noticed both those people. There is the in crowd in church, and there is the out crowd. The in crowd are those who have grown up in church. They know the ropes. They know how to act and behave in church. They know the Christian lingo. We call it Christianese. As long as you say, yeah, the Lord is good, or praise the Lord, man, amen. As long as we say those words, we think it's all good. This is the in crowd. We haven't done anything really, really bad. Yeah, once in a while in college I did something and I got in trouble for that. No, I'm not as bad as some people. And we always have those people in our minds, the ones who are sitting in prison, the guy across the street who stays drunk all the time, or that girl who is cheating on her man or whatever. We think we're not that. We think we are the in crowd, the yes crowd. I've also seen the out crowd. There are those who haven't grown up in church. They don't know the ropes. They don't know how things are done in church. When I finish praying, they're still standing. The rest of y'all know how to sit down. Prayer's over. You sit. Come on, what are you thinking? Sit. And they're still standing going, what happens next? They don't know what's happening. That's the tax collectors and the prostitutes. That's the out crowd. And they're coming in, somehow the gospel is affecting their lives. They are seeing God in a way they never saw him. They receive Jesus. They are getting saved. Something is beginning to happen in their heart. But guess what? They feel threatened. And guess what the in crowd will do? They always try to move in a little bit and they try to get the out crowd. Hey, you want to be part of this? Then you got to act like us. You got to be like us. Don't worry about what the preacher is saying, as long as you hang with us. And in many churches, please listen, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some boy got saved, went to church, and guess what some of those in-crowders did? They kind of took them under their wings, and they made them just like themselves. But many times what happens is, those out-crowders cannot stand it because they're used to being in the bar. They're used to being in the world, and they cannot stand the hypocrisy of the in-crowders. And after a while, I stop seeing them. They don't come back. And I'll go by them and say, man, what's happening? You should be coming to church. Well, Pastor, I'll just tell you. I saw some of the people who go to that church, some of the ways they live, how they act in church is not how they are outside. And I can tell them everything I can. Hey, listen, don't worry about hypocrites. Don't worry about their lifestyle and how they act, how they you serve God. I know I should, but you see what happened? The in-crowders crowded out the out-crowders. Which one are you? Are you part of the in-crowd? Because here are some telltale signs of the in-crowd. You love hearing great messages. You love it. You love going to hear David Jeremiah. You have a podcast of all your favorite preachers. You just don't do anything about it. evangelism, witnessing. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Listen, you are the in crowd. Your job is to witness. Are you witnessing? It's the preacher's job. It's the youth pastor's job. It's a Sunday school teacher's job. Is my job? No. I like to sit back here. Is it getting hot in here? It's about to get hotter. Tithing. Giving. Now, please don't walk away thinking, oh, they're asking for my money. Clearview is being blessed. Amen? God is doing a lot of things. We're not worried about your few pennies, okay? You need to tithe because the Bible tells you to. Tithing is not something that began because of Moses. Abraham tithed. It's giving 10% of your gross income. He said, is net or gross? It's gross. To the Lord. Are you tithing? You know what the Bible says in Malachi? God says, you have robbed me, and yet you ask me, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Well, I'm in the New Testament. It's the age of grace. You know, I don't believe in the, do you eat pork now? I mean, do you? Yeah. In the age of grace, it's called grace giving, which means tithing doesn't even count. You give above and beyond. Are you tithing? Well, I'll put my $20 in. Oh, wait a minute. We need to take up an offering for you because you're making $200 a month. I don't know how you're getting along with that. We need to help you out. Now, folks, see how uncomfortable it got. No wonder this crowd said, we're done with Jesus. I'm out of here. I don't like him. Just the way right now your heart is saying, he's talking about my money. I worked hard for it. He's talking about my money. You see how when it comes to the Bible, you can't go very long before God says, disobedience, 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 disobedience. Now, I can preach a message on giving because but that's another time. You can never outgive God. Can I have an amen on that? You can never outgive God. Are you tithing? You love going to church, but you love coming and sitting down on that one Sunday when nothing else is going on, everything is fine, you're going to come sit down and then complain about how this and that and the other. Folks, let me ask you a question. Where do you serve in the church? Well, you know, I can't do anything because of this and that and the other. Satan will keep you occupied. Hey, listen, I understand there are busy seasons in life when there might be death, or there might be sickness, or there might be job. You got to do too much traveling right now. I understand that. But folks, many of y'all, it's got nothing to do with that. It is just an excuse to come sit and do nothing. Why do we have a ministry drive? For you to walk through that tent and find a place where you say, God, where do you want me to serve? Very small. Maybe I can just take up the offering. Maybe I can help with the children's ministry. Maybe I can help with Kindle, which is our outreach in the inner city. Maybe I can, you know, serve somewhere else, that joy ministry, go to the nursing home, just whatever. Let me ask you this morning, when you got saved, what is the promise that you made to God? Are you keeping that promise? When we are in the trenches, we say, God, if you get me out of this problem, I will serve you. Things get worse, and you say, forget that, Lord, I'll take care of this. And then God gets you out, and when you get out, you go, man, I'll tell you what, the doctors were so good, the hospital was so good, and my neighbors were so good, and it's good to have family. You've forgotten God. You've forgotten the promises that you made to God. Where are you? Are you obedient?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Ask yourself that question. In your life right now, are you being obedient to God? It's not enough to just attend church and go through the motions. We've got to be totally surrendered and obedient to what God has called us to do. Give God your yes today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.